Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Visit once again the Christmas story, if you can call it that, the birth of Christ history recorded in Holy Writ. And we've been going through the book of Luke and now Matthew in chapter 2, which records some of the responses of certain ones to the birth of the Christ child. Matthew 2, let's read the first 12 verses. Tonight we'll go on and hear about Herod and the flight into Egypt. But here the visit of the wise men. Matthew 2, God's Word. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We've seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they'd come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Here we have a remarkable, wonderful story of the visit of the wise men from the east to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, to worship the Christ child. Remarkable and intriguing story for our wisdom and for our worship. Then they were there worshiping those wise men. And now there's worshipers today, even coming from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And I do wonder, though, sometimes if it's truly the case that people come to Jesus nowadays as truly wise, or at least as wise as the wise men of old. And if people come nowadays from the west, let's say, in our secular society, who are truly being the gifts of worship, bringing the gifts of worship, and then if they go away as the wise men, if they go away as the wise men to tell all in their country of the birth of the great king. I wonder, is that the visit of wise men to the baby Jesus today? You wonder. And we wonder sometimes in our own lives, don't we? And in Orthodox churches, if it's the case that the response of the church and of the church's children and young people is wise, or is it simply patterning itself after the world, religious, but worldly for all that? I do pray that the Lord would use a sermon like this for my own life and for yours and for all who hear, that we truly may be wise as the wise men of old, but filled with much more knowledge. And now the Spirit is poured out upon us. May we truly be wise. Bring our gifts and worship the Christ. Let's consider then the wise men who still come to Bethlehem. I want to consider the wise men from the East, and I want to commend to your attention that really they came from an altogether different direction than East. Secondly, I want to consider the wise men from the West, and that they too, if they're coming from God, are coming from an altogether different direction than merely West. But then finally, I want to consider their reaction after they met Jesus and they're going away even another way. And we consider here their response to the dream of the wickedness of Herod and so on. So wise men still come to Bethlehem from the East, first of all. We don't know a lot about these wise men from the East. They're called that here. And literally, you could translate it the Magoi, the Magi. Books are written and stories are embellishments of Matthew's account of the Magi and the gifts or the adoration of the Magi. But again, we don't know much about these wise men. We don't know what their wisdom was, speaking of them as a class of people. There are certain gifts they have and understanding, it seems, in earthly things, but also in astronomical things. They could very well have been learned in the stars and the constellations and the timing of the stars and the rising of stars in the east and the west, the north and the south, and so on. We don't know where the east is either, though it's from the east, from Palestine, somewhere in the east. Was it Syria? Was it Persia? Was it Sheba and so on? It could very well be Babylon. Don't know this, though, but they were known for the schools of astronomers and astrologers who would try to figure out things from the stars and so on. We don't know. And we can't really follow the carols of the season about we three kings and all of this to get wisdom and true knowledge about these wise men, because simply the Bible doesn't tell us everything that the carols try to herald to us. For example, that there are three of them. We don't know that there are three kings here. We don't know that there are three of them, even though there's three gifts. They brought frankincense and gold and myrrh. And that doesn't mean that each one was bringing one gift and that there's only three. There could have been more. We don't know that. We don't know that they're kings either. We don't know that they're dignitaries called kings as we like to think of them. But so we're just in the dark about a lot of these things. I want to tell you, though, that there are passages in the Bible that seem to suggest that there's going to be a visit of wise men and even kings to Jerusalem at one time. For example, Psalm 72, and this is probably where the carols come from, says that the kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And so on. There is an expression in the Old Testament, Psalm 72, of the great glories of the king who is revealed in Israel. And one of the great glories is that the whole nations, that they come and they bow before him and acknowledge that he's king. Or perhaps it could be that the carols are building upon Isaiah 60, which speaks of, again, this those from Sheba, verse 7, 6, for example, who will come. They will come to Jerusalem, and they shall bring gold and incense, says Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Well, this could very well be a reference to what's being fulfilled at this time, for certainly God's counsels are being fulfilled. He's in control of all of this. But we don't know the details. We don't know, again, their wisdom and so on. And we don't know much about them and how they got this earthly wisdom. We do know this, though. They had a wisdom from above. And really, then, we can say that the wise men from the East have to be understood as coming from heaven. And that's why, in your outlines, I say they come from East, H-East. East, heaven, east. They are directed from heaven in their coming to Jerusalem in the west, from above. For consider this, when they come, and they come to the Jews and then to Herod, they ask the question, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Well, that tells us, and the Bible, of course, is true here, they are really meaning to worship God, and God is pleased with their worship. It tells us that they come from God, because not anybody comes to worship Jesus. We know that today was the case then, too. All Jerusalem is troubled when they hear of the birth of the king. Very few come to worship the Christ child. But these wise men come, and I say that's wisdom, or that's meaning they're coming from heaven, another place than the earth. All men, naturally, they don't worship God. They don't worship this babe in the manger, surely. But these wise men are. So they have the gift of faith. Let's think of that first of all. Faith that attaches them to the things of God. Faith that knows some things. Faith that is confirmed in something, as our catechism reminds us, are the two basic elements of faith, knowledge and assurance. They have this. There's something from heaven in them. That's the place they're coming from, the God of heaven, who somehow had visited them. And so they're attached to things of heaven, not just to stars. We don't want to get lost here. This is not the paparazzi who are the ones with the cameras and they follow earthly stars here. These are people from heaven who are seeing in Jesus something brighter than the star that they follow. More on that presently. But their attention is on the light of the world that Jesus is. And they call him the King of the Jews, who has his own star. Go figure of anything human. This is divine. So they have this attachment. They have the same faith of Abraham, the Jew, the father of the Jews. The great faith of Abraham, believing in things not seen, hoping in things that are future, and knowing with a lively hope that they truly will come to pass. They had the essence of that. We don't know how much they knew. We don't know, except maybe they knew just a little, but they were given this attachment to things eternal, things lovely, things beautiful, things divine, and it yielded a worship. Now, where did this faith come from? That's a question. I said it came from heaven. But ordinarily, God speaks to people and they have faith worked through the Word. And the Word that God speaks in the Old Testament is through dreams. Might whisper to people when they're sleeping children. That's how he spoke then. Or visions. They might be kind of half awake and God would come to them and speak to them. Sometimes God would appear in person. And oftentimes God would bring prophets and so on, and so they'd have the spoken word that would illuminate the things of heaven. And this is how God works. Faith comes by hearing something in some way that God's going to speak. You see, it wasn't some light they had of themselves, some natural light. And this is what is going on here. They're just using the best of their natural light. This is God speaking, not just in the star, but from heaven beyond the stars. And through some communication to the ordinary person, even the sinful person, so that the communication changes their whole life and they are believers. Now, it could have been, too, that these wise men from the east, who may have come from Babylon, we do a little bit of implying here, I can't be dogmatic, maybe they were recipients of some of the wisdom of the Jews of the dispersion, who been, remember, exiled. We're talking about Daniel. Maybe even they had learned something of the wisdom of God through Daniel. Remember Daniel? Daniel, who was exiled and who was there among the Babylonians and the Persians and the Medes and so on. And he was there a long time, never came back to Palestine. Nevertheless, Daniel was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar and kept in the position by other kings to be the leader of the wise men. The astrologers, the astronomers, you read of that in Daniel 2 and Daniel 5. You can read of that at your leisure. But there was this school of wise men. Daniel was the head of it. I wonder. We don't know. But you wonder if somehow the amazing wisdom that was given to Daniel, the great understanding, the Spirit-inspired Daniel, was somehow communicated even to Babylonians and Medes and Persians and so on. And so these wise men had heard the word there, and they'd heard of the king of the Jews. And hearing, they followed. This is another aspect. Well, let me go before this. Hearing, they were wise. Hearing, they were wise. Truly wise. Meaning, they knew something, and then they would act upon it. They knew something, and their knowledge was centered in what God said is really something, His Son. That's what wisdom is, first of all. It's not something you learn in physics all by itself, or in rocket science class, or in how to be an engineer. It's knowledge of God who says, here's, knowing anything, here's my Son. That's wisdom. Here's knowing the word that I would speak to all the ages and all nations, the Son of God. Here's what I have to say. Here's the key to interpreting the stars and whatever else you're going to interpret. Here is the way, the truth, and the life. Here's wisdom, knowing my Son. And knowing that He's King, and knowing that He's Savior, and knowing that when you see Him, you see me, and so bend the knee. All of these things. That's wisdom. We have that wisdom. The wise men had something of it. It all is telling us here this. But then, of course, I go to this. They followed. Wisdom follows. Wisdom does something with its knowledge of Jesus. It lives for something. It goes somewhere. It goes up. It goes down. It goes left or right. Following the knowledge. That's what a wise boy or girl is, children. It teaches something about the Bible. And your parents teach you about the Bible. Well, if you're a wise boy or girl, you listen to them and you do what they say. You do what is a good thing to do. And they say, be happy in the Lord. You know, get over the being a grump box. That's wisdom, to be happy in the Lord. It really is. Wisdom is obeying. Wisdom is helping your mom and dad and your brother and your sister and all of these things. I jumped ahead, but they had this wisdom here that did something, and that did something was to follow something. Just like all disciples whom Jesus calls, they follow. Come and follow me, he says. And so the wise men, they followed not their hunch, they followed not their books, they followed what God was saying to them. They followed. And they followed the star. And here we come to where everybody usually starts in this narrative of the wise men visiting Jesus, the star. Star of wonder, star of light, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. That's the carol. It was a wonderful star. The fact is, nobody knows what this star was. Now, we can calculate, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, with the technology today, it's told that we can go backwards into time and figure out the positioning of stars and constellations at the time Jesus was born. If you go to 3, 4 B.C. and following the laws of Kepler that have been discovered in the universe, and God gives us very smart men to discover these things, you go back and you can have across your screens and on the internet the constellations maybe, or the things that were going on in the heavens at that night. And so there's some conclusions that have been drawn from this, that the stars were so positioned, the constellations, maybe the planet Jupiter, star or the planet of the king, was just right here, and it was just shining there. And again, we don't know these things. I do want to declare here, though, that this is a star of wonder. No matter what God used, no matter what existing material or constellations or planets or comets, the wise men were so moved by the appearance of this star that they somehow were told in the star itself or God speaking through them, this is His star that I'm showing you. They saw, they said, His star in the east, that is maybe in the rising. They saw it when it came up, and it was different. There was something unique about it that told them that something's happened here or happening, about to happen. And again, we don't know if it was before Jesus was born or after Jesus was born that they saw the star, but they saw it. And somehow, again, not putting two and two together, but being wise, because theirs was a wisdom more than astronomical, they heard some word from heaven, or they recalled some word from heaven through Daniel about the king, maybe the stone that would knock over all of the other kingdoms. The stone without hands is born. There's a rock formation among the people of God. It's happening. It's happened from heaven. Something moved them. And it didn't depress them as it did the Jews who discovered this through the Magi and Herod. But it impressed them. Big difference. Many people get depressed at Christmas. Don't get depressed. Be impressed, though. They were. So they came. And now, again, we'll stick with the star here. We don't even know that it went before them. They saw it appearing at its rising in the east, but we don't know that it went before them, the 800 miles or so, or whatever it was, or maybe less, that they came from the east, wherever that was, to Jerusalem. And they're going to Jerusalem because, well, that's the capital city, and the Jews would know where the king was born, the king of the Jews was, so they went there. But again, we don't know how much help they got from the star to go to Jerusalem. They probably didn't need help because they had their maps. They knew where Jerusalem was. The star had appeared, and that was the glorious thing. And okay, then they get to Jerusalem. And they go, and apparently they go to the Jewish leaders, and they talk to them, and so on. And then Herod the king hears about this, and he's troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he gathers the Sanhedrin, the chief priests and the scribes, the intelligentsia of the religious community, the Bible theologians, the systematic theologians, ones who were supposed to know things. And Herod tries to find out from them where the Christ was to be born. It was common knowledge. You read of this in John 7:42, another place. Everyone seemed to know that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. Well, they quote Micah the prophet, chapter 5 and verse 2. They got it down. Well, of course, Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, in Judah, the land of Judah, about 5 miles from Jerusalem. Well, then Herod, he secretly calls the wise men, determines from them where the star had appeared and so on. And then he sent them to Bethlehem. He didn't send a delegation with them, and nor did the Jews, but sent them to Bethlehem. Search out just where he is, and then bring me back word. More on that later, too. But the star, okay, the star. So the wise men are informed of these things, and then, lo and behold, and this is, I believe, truly a miracle, then they see the star again. Verse 9, when they'd heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they'd seen in the east, and perhaps it was just once, now it's going before them. And so the song should be Bethlehem proceedings, whatever. But it's going to Bethlehem now. The star is going to Bethlehem. And must have been so low or so brilliant or so laser-like in its beams that it shone ultimately right over the house now. Jesus is not in the manger now. He's in the house. And that could have been days, weeks, months, maybe even years after he's born. When they see the child, or they see the star standing right over where the young child was, when they saw it, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. You see, they're seeing a miracle. They're beholding the miracle of the heavens and the God of heaven directing their path, so there's no doubt whatsoever. They're not going to go to another baby's house. They're not going to be mistaken here. They go, and this is the way. They've shown that. Now, though, they have the wonderful star and light of the Bible. And the miracle is confirming what Micah has said. Bethlehem's the place to go. Striking. So they go. And there's this star of wonder that's leading them. But the greatest thing, of course, here is the worship. They come, they're believers, they follow the Lord wisely, the Lord's leading, and they follow that wonderful star, again, that miraculous star, or somehow God's working this miracle, and they worship. Look at this, will you? Look at this. Children, come to the house with us. You got grown men there, however many. And they see the young child with Mary. Notice the young child is first. Wherever the child and Mary are mentioned together in the Bible, the child, not Mary, is first. And they see the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. They truly worshiped him. They acknowledged that he's king. And they showed their love of him, their worship of him, their devotion to him, their adoration of him by opening their treasures, presenting their gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, a lot of speculation about the gifts. There's something, though, that I think is more than speculation, because these things that are given, they say something of the one that they're given to. Gold, that's the gift for royalty. That's a sign in the Bible, a symbol in the Bible of a very important, noble, kingly person. Frankincense, often used in worship, often used as the incense that would rise to God. So you have something here that bespeaks their seeing in this child the living God. I believe so. That's why they're worshiping him. And they're not worshiping an idol, a mere man. They're worshiping God revealed in the babe. And the frankincense is becoming. It's the things that priests would offer in their temples. And then myrrh. Perhaps that speaks of his humanity, his mortality, often used in the burial of people, as it was with Jesus' own burial, no doubt. So you have here his kingship and his divinity and his humanity. And there's something here that they're acknowledging in their gifts. Whatever it is, they're worshiping him. And they're showing they mean it by giving of their all they've given themselves. And now they're give whatever means anything to them. And note here, they're not stumbling over the babe. Figuratively. They're not having a problem theologically or otherwise with their great dignity now being prostrate before an ordinary babe. They're not confounded by the ordinary of it all. An ordinary mother. An ordinary father. So it looks like. An ordinary babe. An ordinary house. Very humble. They don't care. However, God reveals himself, We worship Him. And that leads to my second point. And this is those who come WHW, West Heaven West. That's us. And that would be everyone else, whoever comes to God through His Word. What of that? This is for us, you see. These wise men who come from the East, you know, they're Gentiles. They're not Jews. That's why they say, where is he who's king of the Jews? They're not Jews, but there's a king of the Jews and we're going to worship him. You see, here's a great, great event here that reminds us of the fulfillment of the promises way back to Abraham. And you shall all the nations of the world be blessed. Psalm 72 and the other Psalms trumpet forth this great elaboration of the covenant of grace and this extension of God's wonderful saving ways when he says, we're going to show ourselves to be the Father and the Son, the God of the whole world. And you see, it's always been the intention of God, hasn't it? Let the nations be glad. Let the nations rejoice. Let the nations come and bow before the God of the universe. That's what the Magi are all about. Us who come, not of Abraham's blood, and we're not of any kind of blue blood, any kind of people of worth, and we're not wise in ourselves, just sinful. But God makes us believers. Understand that? That's the difference between us and the whole world of people, even religious people. They get Bethlehem in a way, and they go to Bethlehem by going to church in a way, and yet they're not believing this all. And we need to understand this. A great work of grace here among kings and among all kinds of people who go and they give their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh. They give their all. They worship before the feet of the babe. Worship. And faith is given. And so much more, dear people of God, because we have so much more than a star in the heavens. We have this star to follow all the way to Bethlehem. You know how great this word is that's here written, here inspired, here infallibly recorded for our salvation? It's great indeed to make believers out of unbelievers if the Holy Spirit works. You hear that? And when this word is declared, how powerful this is. And God uses His Holy Spirit to enlighten the unbelieving and to call those who thought themselves wise, even in things astrological, astronomical, and whateveromical. He makes them to be His own. And that's everything. He attaches them to things and to one which is life with them. God still does that. He still makes believers. He still makes wise people who follow Jesus wherever He leads. But now, though, we have the whole of the New Testament. And just think of how little the wise men had, if they had much at all, of the Word of God. Some echoes of a prophecy of Daniel and the king that's going to destroy all the kingdoms, even their own, which shall be forever. They had that, maybe. You think of the poverty even of the knowledge of the Jews who had all of the Old Testament and so on, and yet they didn't have hardly anything. And now we, even compared to the first disciples, have so much because the whole New Testament is written and we have this knowledge of God who's born with us and who is Emmanuel, but who's lived and then who's died and is crucified for us and who's risen again and He's coming again. We have all of that. And so when we come to Bethlehem, we have the cross and we know where it's leading. Oh, and we know we haven't forgotten either, have we? the 10 significances of Christmas. That this is real, that He is God, that He is man, that He is Savior, that there's mercy that's shown here, and there's Christmas presents because of the presents that we went through. That's what we know. And we follow Him. It's so hard, though, because we're just naturally not there and not wanting to be there. Have you faced that problem? Sometimes for Christians, there was for me, you first converted, there's kind of a honeymoon period, and all you see is Christ. For little ones, too. Turn to God early on. All you see is Christ. And isn't that beautiful to see our children like that? Oh, mommy, they say, why are you crying? Jesus loves you. You ever have a child say that? They rebuke our unbelief and our needless tears and so on. It's wonderful that way. There's a pristineness even about those first converted maybe on the mission field. And all they see is Jesus. And they're filled with Jesus. And oh, He saved me from thy sin. But what happens is in sanctification, you finally, you realize that, yes, I'm saved, but there's still this old thing in me called an old man. There's still sinfulness and there's still ugliness and there's still someone who says, I don't want to go to Bethlehem, let alone church. I don't want to worship. It's inconvenient. Too many miles to go. Too much to give of myself and my time. Please, I don't want to do this. This is the Western problem as well as the whole world problem, even among people who are Christian. And we have that. And I wanted to bring this sermon to you and to myself in the world. Yes, we're heaven sent, but so often we're hell bent. And this is cute for them, and this is something for them, and this is something maybe we do on Sunday, but what a struggle to go over the moor, the swamp, through that, and over the mountain, and work. And even as we consider the ecclesiastical wasteland, we have to go through that. Our children do. The Christian colleges too. It's an ecclesiastical wasteland. All the stuff and all the higher criticism, and they're dismantling the Bible, doctrine by Bible, doctrine by doctrine, and there's no Jesus left. Let's rethink Jesus. You know, in my day, they had popular Broadway musicals. I think one of the first ones was Jesus Christ Superstar. That's how old I am. Blasphemy. But He was made a superstar. Never mind the star of wonder and so on. Never mind the fact that He's God Almighty to be worshipped. Let's just put Him up there. Under the lights. Make Him a man. Someone we can follow. Pattern our lives for. And right next to Him, Buddha and Muhammad and human beings who've led the way in doing what humans do, building the city of man. People are missing the babe, the ordinary babe. And the death of the cross and all the things that reveal Jesus to be not an ordinary babe and certainly not a superstar. He's the only star that God has given. And that leads to my final point here. You know, there's something about this story of the wise men. Everybody focuses on, and ministers do too, and that's good. Just think of what they did here and what we're called to do in coming to the babe and worshiping. You know, there's something telling as well. They came, and then they left in a certain way that we need to understand here. Remember, Herod wanted them to go back and tell him, and he was a cunning killer. God had to warn those naive wise men in a dream that they should not return to Herod. And so they departed for their own country another way. I find in those last two words, another way, everything. They come another way. The way of grace, the way of faith. We need to come another way than so many are coming to the Bethlehem manger in an ordinary way without faith. And we need to come and not just to have our Bibles there, though we need that. Micah 5:2 tells us. But look. Look what the Jews had. They had the intelligence of the Word of God. Oh, Micah 5:2. The wise men went to the theologians. The theologians said, Micah 5:2. That's where he's going to be born. We know that. The children probably could have spouted that. They were catechized in Micah 5:2. Bethlehem, you're little, but out of you shall come forth him whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. He shall be the shepherd and the ruler, and so on. Had it down pat. What? They didn't go and worship. They had their heads full. They were cranium Christians, but not cardiological Christians of the heart. That's the challenge here. No one else went. No one else was excited. No one else was thrilled. No one else was believing. They were troubled, though. And I don't know why. Herod, he was troubled because he saw a competitor. We'll see that tonight. Jerusalem was probably troubled because they thought Herod, who had a reputation of being cruel, he's going to get at us because these wise men have just spoken of the king of the Jews, and maybe he's going to try to get at some of us, which he will do. It's going to be trouble. The status quo is going to be upset. But you see, that's all they saw with Jesus being announced, the birth of the king being announced. Trouble! And later on, they'll show just how much they didn't want him as the troublemaker in Israel. The one who convinced them of their sins, who came not to call them by their pedigree to be taken to heaven or by their righteousness and their righteous bootstraps to be lifted up to heaven. No. He came to call them, and he called them like they were sinners who were in need of repentance. That is what we must struggle with, dear ones. Ecclesiastical wasteland and our tendency to be those with a bit of knowledge, but who are acting like fools because, well, I'm a young person, and mom and dad, they're serious about religious things and so on, but I'm a young person, and I'm going to go to Bethlehem maybe with them in church and so on, but I'm going to bring my toys. I'm going to have my life of playing until I'm ready to give them up, until I'm ready to be this serious and sober-minded Christian. Don't do that, young people. Leave your toys. Grow up. Not talking to the three-year-olds. Talking about the people who need to grow up in this congregation. To leave it and be a man and be a woman of God. So Paul says, but that's wise for young people. Husbands, we live in this Western world when it seems like your tendency is to be the bread maker, to be sure. But to be married more to your work than to your wife. And wives, all the temptation to be not content with your one husband that God has given. And on we got all of the problems. And the church is tempted to be the glitzy church and this church of stars and the church of this. No. Let's go to Bethlehem and then come away. And it's still everything to us. Worship the King. wise men of old and from the east, wise men and women and children, worship the King. Amen. Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would bless us. As we go to Bethlehem and as we come away, may the Word of God be our star, our light, shining on our pathway, informing our devotion and empowering us by your Spirit working to believe and to render our gifts and offerings now and forevermore. Amen.